I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, the Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Saint Joseph, terror of demons. Saint John the Evangelist. Saint John the Baptist. Saint Francis. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The title of this conference will be From Fear to Faith. Basically, it's moving from confidence in the temporary, limited realities that are passing away, to an active confidence in God, the essential, the eternal, and the transcendent, all-powerful. We began with the Apostles' Creed, the 12 articles of our faith. When you recite the Apostles' Creed slowly, you recognize what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have done for you. And then at this time of the year, as we are coming to the close of the liturgical year, those last six articles of faith, they're always important, but they're really our focus now. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Sometimes when we're praying, you know, we say things very quickly. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Do you really realize? I believe in the Holy Spirit. We are in the day and age of the Holy Spirit. From the time Jesus ascended to the time he returns, this is the time of the Holy Spirit. He is God. We are given the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate to overcome our adversary. You see, we have an adversary who's always accusing us, so God gives us an advocate, and it turns out our advocate is God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Wow. And we also have a Holy Spirit that overcomes the evil spirit. What happens is so many people see the evil in the world, and it seems that it's increasing, and so then they start to doubt the existence of God. No, the Holy Spirit is at work everywhere in the world. God is present. God is working. God is perfect wisdom, and God has all power, and he's going to carry out a plan. The thing is, it's mysterious, or you can think of it this way, it's under construction. You know how, like, when you ride down the highways and it says under construction, and you might get a little frustrated, why is this under construction? Well, it's to make it better. God's ways are not our ways. And we began with the Apostles' Creed. We began with, I believe in God the Father. What was the word? Almighty. Oh, Almighty. We didn't say, I believe in God the sometimes mighty. I believe in God the part-time mighty. I believe in God the mighty when he's awake. I believe in God the mighty when he wants to be mighty. Get the point? That makes the devil flee when you say the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe God is present and he's working right now? I hope so. That's part of what this whole talk is about. He's doing something wonderful, wonderful. When Jesus was crucified and he stood there at that first station of the cross and the representative of the power of the world, Pilate, washed his hands of the whole matter like many politicians today and said, do with him what you want. After Jesus, who is truth, said to him, I've come into this world to testify to the truth. And he said, what is truth? Like many politicians in the world today. He washed his hands. And then Jesus took the cross. And when you follow the way of the cross, if you really put yourself in his position, boy, it seemed like evil had the victory, huh? I mean, if you really think about it, put yourself on really on the way of the cross. But we know it didn't end at the cross. It led to the resurrection and the ascension, where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father as our King, as our eternal high priest, and as the one who's going to come to judge the living and the dead. He's the bridegroom and we're the bride. We've talked about a number of these things, but I bring them to you because at the root of the problem today in the world is what's at the root of the problem in the church, because as the church goes, so goes the world. Never forget that. As the church goes, so goes the world. What is the real attack of what's going on right now and the disaster that it seems like we're in the midst of in the world? What's really at the root of it all is the enemy, the devil, the serpent from of old, who is a liar, a deceiver, a murderer from the beginning. He's attacking the Catholic Church. That's it. This is the bride of Christ. But we as the church, as I said in the homily, we are the church. It only takes one John the Baptist. It only takes one St. Francis, one Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I bring those three up as examples because each one of them had so many people following them and converting, right, by the time they died. And what was common to all three? They were living the Word of God radically. That's what we need to do, right? So whatever God's permitting, he's basically saying, start living the word radically. Do you believe? Do you have faith? Live the Gospels radically. Believe what you read. And put it into practice. That's the Word of God. And the Word of God, by the way, 365 times says, do not be afraid. Wow, very interesting. And a God incidence, right? One for each day of the year. Do not be afraid. Like when Jesus came walking on the water in the storm to the boat, the bark of Peter, the Catholic Church. If you properly translate the Greek, he said to them, take heart, I am, be not afraid. Take heart, take courage. The Holy Spirit will give you that. That's one of the gifts you received in your baptism and in confirmation. In confirmation, we were made soldiers of Christ for the church militant. We are the church militant, right? We're in a battle. We're in a war against principalities and power. Do you know how to? Do you put on the armor of Christ every morning you wake up? Do you do that? Do you say, clothe me with yourself, Christ? Is that one of the first things you say? I hope so. I hope you do it after this conference. Clothe yourself with Christ. It's a battle. Now, our ultimate weapon is love and truth. And our faith can overcome everything. You can move mountains if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed. But do you really believe if we start to live the word? So take heart. I am, he said. That's a sacred name. When God revealed his name to Moses, remember, I am who am? When God says, I am, that's it. I am. I am existence. I am essence. I am God. That's what God says. And Jesus Christ is God. And then he said, be not afraid. Then Peter did what? He said, if it's you, Lord, let me come to you on the water. And the Lord said, basically, come. Peter comes walking on the water. But then what happens? Peter took his eyes off of Christ. Are you taking your eyes off of Christ and busy looking at YouTube, boob tube, or whatever tube or whatever thing there is out there? And all these people are going to give you, they're going to give you the answers. No, they're just going to create disturbances and storms within you. Yeah, there's a storm outside. I can feel the storm. When I'm in storms, when I was in the Philippines and we had a typhoon, believe me, you felt the storm. I remember boarding up my, or, you know, locking up my windows as much as I could and getting ready for the typhoon to come. We were in the chapel before the Lord in the Eucharist praying, and it felt like the third glorious mystery, like when the Holy Spirit came there at Pentecost and the whole building is shaking. And we had all these people, the poor people came up to our place because we had a cement building. But I went over to my room and the typhoon had blown open one of my windows. And I mean, I had to spend a long time drying up all that rain in the room. When a storm comes, you feel it, right? But the key is, don't let it inside. That's my main point to you. And don't get busy looking at it. Look at Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Keep your eye fixed on Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Keep your eye fixed on Christ. Who, heedless of the shame that lay before him, picked up his cross because of the joy and victory that lay ahead of him. Keep your eye on Christ. Who is your faith in, my brothers and sisters? Is it in the government? We're supposed to respect governments, and we want a fair government, and we want honest elections and honest results. Amen. And we're thankful for those who fought the good fight and showed us more courage than some Catholics, and they're not even a Catholic. Enough said. That's in the temporal order. We're the church. What are we doing? Right? We're equipped with the Holy Spirit. What are we doing? Pray your rosaries. Have faith. Fulfill your state of life well. That's what Our Lady asked at Fatima. At Fatima. You know, the message was so motherly and so beautiful. Basically, she urged us to adoration, to live a life of adoration, to have conversion in our life. We all need conversion. And to make reparation. What was the reparation that we needed to do? One, offer sacrifice to atone for the sins of ourselves and others. Make sacrifices. Two, fulfill your daily duties well to the best of your ability. Sometimes we get so busy trying to talk about the duties of somebody else, what they should do. You know, when you're a worker in the vineyard, and I'm working on the vine, I love that Pope Emeritus Benedict said he's just a worker in the vineyard. If you're working on the vine, you know, you're a good worker if you're focused on what you're doing. But if you're busy looking at the other workers, they're not doing their work the way they're supposed to be doing it. What are you doing? You're not a good worker in the vineyard. So it's all about, well, if only the Holy Father, and oh, if only the bishop, and only this, and only that one would do this, and that, and the other thing. It only takes one John the Baptist, one St. Francis, one Mother Teresa Calcutta to live the gospel radically. That's all they did. That's what they all did. Now, John the Baptist lived the Old Testament radically. And I point to those three saints. Of course, it's always living in Christ, imitation of Christ, having his see the way he sees, think the way he thinks, have the heart he has, which the affections and the desires that he has, and then do the works he does, love the way he loves. That's why you need to go into Scripture. Saint Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Christ is the love of your life. Love will transform you. Love brings about a union. Love brings about a mutual indwelling. Love brings about an ecstasy. Ecstasy, the word basically means to stand outside of yourself. Ecstasis. Get out of yourself. We're not the center. Jesus is the center. The center of history. It's his story. History is his story. What is your part in his story? I am not writing my own story. That's a problem with a lot of people in the world today, just objectively saying this. You know, you really basically have the choice of, are you going to live a life that's theocentric, which means God-centered, theocentric, or egocentric, self-centered. But if you're living a life that's egocentric, you're not living in reality. Amen? We need saints. Do your daily duty well. And third, accept the responsibilities of your state in life. Holy marriages and holy families are one of the greatest ways to transform the world right now. Marriage and families under attack. How do you counter the attack? You live it even more radically. When I pray the litany of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for every offense against his Sacred Heart, I say, I'm going to do this reparation even better. You understand? Whatever you see out there needs to be addressed, you commit to making up for it and doing it better. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of fun. Husbands, love your wives more than you've ever loved them in your life. Starting now, tonight. Wives, love your husbands more than you've ever loved them in your life. Starting tonight. That's great, right? Not asking you to go and pray, Lord, please give me the gift of levitation so I can fly up in the air and people can say I'm a holy person and they'll listen to me then. If you started floating up in the air, I'd start getting concerned, frankly. And I'd start to wonder which spirit was picking you up. And I'm going to test the spirits when those kind of things happen. I don't think we need a bunch of people flying up in the air. You know, I, as a priest, need to focus on what I need to focus on. I'm praying right now. I'm working with people. I'm consoling them. I'm encouraging them to be saints. I'm doing what God's asking me to do. But mostly, it's getting up early out of bed right away when the alarm goes off and getting up and praying right away. That's what God's asking me to do. God didn't say, Father Zachariah, the Mother of God, I want you to grow wings fly over Washington, D.C. and say, behave. I would do it. I got no problem. I don't even care if they shoot me down with a missile if the Lord asked me to do it, but the Lord has not asked me to do it. So why should I sit there and start thinking about if only I had wings? Let's do what we're supposed to do and let God be God, right? Amen? The reason we have so much fear is because we're involved with things that we're not supposed to be involved with to the extent that we're not supposed to be involved with them, okay? We're supposed to be involved in this battle right now. There is a battle in our midst right now. It's basically the battle of God versus godlessness, period. Period. I could go into it. I could line it all out for you. You already know it deep down. But it's been the same battle from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Okay? We know the battle. We know that Our Lady's going to crush the enemy's head. And one of the most beautiful ways is, you know, if you ever look at a statue with Our Lady crushing the serpent, what's she doing? She's just sitting there like this. Is she sitting there going, ah, serpent, you know, or like, you know, or Michael, when he's going to cut the head off the serpent, what's he doing? He's just looking up to heaven, waiting for God to say the word, and he's just going to go, mm. But what Jesus went through, the church must go through. Jesus already went through the tribulation. The tribulation was fulfilled when Jesus went on the way of the cross. But the bride must go through the same tribulation. But don't be afraid. You have the Holy Spirit. So, I do want you to remember that the cross is our hope. The cross gives meaning to suffering. It becomes redemptive suffering. No greater love has a man than to lay down their lives on the cross for others. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, love each other as I have loved you. Whatever he commands, he will do it in you. He's the one who will be loving in you. It's impossible for you to do it. That's why having a relationship with the Eucharist allows you to live his life and do what he asks. But I will simply say what's at the root of the problem in the church, and as the church goes, so goes the world. At the root of the problem is the crisis of faith. Pope Emeritus Benedict has said this, and many other wise, holy men have said it. The crisis of faith is the root of the problem, even in the priesthood. Pray for your priest to have conversions daily, especially me. Hey, frankly, just because I have the gift of talking as a former lawyer, my uncle says I went from being a liar to a friar. Most of you know that. The gift of preaching is called a charismatic grace or a charismatic gift. It's just to build up the body of Christ. It does not mean that the preacher is holy. Just like someone who's given the gift of healing. That's to build up the body of Christ. The most important grace is what's called sanctifying grace, habitual grace, to stay in the state of grace. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And it says in Scripture, the Holy Spirit comes to you to help you in your weakness. And the error I made for so many years is I try to be so strong and do it on my own. Well, when you do that, you're blocking the Holy Spirit. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, right? But I need him to be in me, and I need to be listening to what he says, like Mary did. See, that's what Mary always did. She just was listening to the Holy Spirit. Three words that describe Mary are listen, ponder, treasure. Listen, ponder, treasure. Listen, ponder, treasure. I've been teaching this all over the world. LPT. That's what we need to do. But we have so much noise, we can't hear. We need to listen. So at Fatima, in 1917, Our Lady appeared six times. She asked for basically adoration, conversion, reparation. Later, Lucia, who became Sister Lucia, basically said Fatima was about faith, hope, and charity, and adoration of the Eucharistic presence. Faith, hope, and charity, adoration of the Eucharistic presence. Get consecrated to Jesus through Mary if you're not. So the crisis of faith is the root of the problem. I'll even tell you a little story. Why it's even the root of the problem sometimes in the priesthood. I studied my theology both in Rome at the Angelicum, and then I finished in the Philippines. And it was a great experience to be able to study in both the East and the West in Asia. And when I completed my studies in Asia, they had a comprehensive exam 4 Fridays in a row. You had to show that you understood all of the areas of theology sufficiently enough to be ordained. Right next door was the Gift of Love, which was a tabernacle of the Missionaries of Charity. The Missionaries of Charity call all their houses tabernacles. Isn't that beautiful? Their houses are tabernacles. And this house, this tabernacle, was called the Gift of Love. And it took care of the little children, those thrown away children, and the dying, the elderly, the sick. And it was also a house of their formation. And so I went over there, and I remember this one sister from India. And we were talking, and I was in love with theology, the study of God. And I really, you know, by the grace of God, understood my theology better than I ever had in my life, or probably ever will at that moment, in my head. And I was talking to this sister about all these theological aspects that I'm sharing them with her, and she just looks at me and she says, I was a brother at the time, she said, "Brother, that's beautiful, but I'm going to pray you have faith." I just went, "Yes, sister, you pray I have faith." I've been a missionary in so many countries in this world. It's the simple people that are sitting there praying the rosaries that might not even have a first grade education, or they're praying the rosaries on their hospital beds as they're dying in ICU units. They're the ones holding the world together. Now, of course, the one really holding the world together is Jesus in the Eucharist. St. Padre Pio said that the world could do without the sun in the sky before doing without the Eucharist, right? You understand? But it's about faith. And you know, deep down in your being, the beautiful thing is, when you really are trying, when you've been baptized and you're trying to live this sacramental life and you're doing your best and you're reading the Word of God and you're praying the rosary and you're doing all the things that you should do as Catholics, trying to increase grow in your faith, hope, and charity, bottom line, there becomes a sense in you where the answers are in you because the Holy Spirit's in you, and and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father are in you. And so as a priest, many times I'm just listening to people, and it's amazing how they already have the answer. It's deep within them, but they need to be silent enough to find it. And I'm not just talking about a psychological thing, well, the answer's in you. I'm talking about, because if you're in habitual grace, the Trinity is in you. And then you get a supernatural light. Faith is a supernatural light. Faith lifts up your reason. Now, faith and reason go together. St. John Paul II wrote this in Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth. He said, "Faith and reason are the two wings by which man soars to contemplate the truth." We need both wings. You can't just have pure reason. Human reason won't get you to a supernatural destiny. But you can't have just pure faith in the sense of like Islam, the Muslims, you know, just this is what is said and, you know, I'm not going to apply my reason. It's just this is what's said and not apply your reason. One of the things that needs to be done today is we all must get the right order of things in our life. Let's imagine a train. You know a train, what a train is? The engine of the train is faith. The cars of the train are facts. And the caboose is feelings. But we live now in a world where the locomotive, the engine, is feelings. The cars are feelings, and the caboose is feelings. Wow. Now, feelings can help. God gave us passions, emotions. If you study St. Thomas Aquinas, there's six in the area of concupiscible appetites, and there's five in the area of irascible appetites. And they're actually, many of them are to seek the good, especially if it's challenging. Some of them are to overcome evil, especially if it's very hard to overcome that evil. I don't have time to go into all of this. But the feelings of themselves, you can feel it, but it shouldn't control you. What you do with the feeling, with the passion, with the emotion, is what's important. And so if you apply virtue, it gets you closer to God. And if you have supernatural light of faith, you'll be guided, plus with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear the Lord, your virtue will be lifted up. It's like the wind in the sailboat as you sail towards the Father. But if you just stay caught up in the emotion and you don't have virtue, you can end up in a vice. Let's just take anger, for example. Okay, there's many things going on right now. You know, many people are angry right now. I suppose many of you have experienced some anger. It's okay to experience the anger. Acknowledge it. Say, I feel angry. Not all the time. Don't walk around, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry. I'm angry. But no. But acknowledge it. Don't think that holiness means I can't ever experience a feeling of anger. When there's an injustice, such as fraud, and thievery, and lies, and deceit, power grabs, you're supposed to be angry. But now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to lose your soul? Are you going to lose your soul over it? Or are you going to pray for light and find out what your role is and draw energy from that anger to address what needs to be addressed according to what you're supposed to be doing? You understand? Don't lose your souls over the storms. You're raised up to be saints.